On yesterday's program, we heard Chuck Swindoll quote the late author and pastor A.W. Tozer. He said, "The most important thing about you is what you think about God. If you think about Him as somewhat smaller than He is, you will pray smaller than you should." Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck develops this theme further by pointing us to several biblical passages that correct our diminished view of God. This is the first of four messages in a new series called Mission Possible. And Chuck titled today's message, "The God of Limitless Possibilities."
Are you living these days struggling with feelings of inadequacy? Feeling small? Take heart. If He's got time for the little children and says the kingdom belongs to such as these, believe me, He's got room for those of us who struggle with feelings of inadequacy and disability and aging. Mission possible. You see, with God, there are no little people. It was back in 1974, He sort of took the Christian world by storm. He dressed in a strange way, but oh, He held audiences that numbered into the multiple thousands in the palm of His hand, as Francis Schaeffer would address our culture, and especially the arts of our day. And the more you were around Him, the more you realized this man is not impressed with Francis Schaeffer. He is lost in wonder, love, and praise of His Heavenly Father. And He talks to the world about everybody counts. There are no little people. In fact, He wrote the book, No Little People. I dragged mine off my library shelf yesterday, and I called Cynthia into my study, and I said, "Listen to some of this." I read from the chapter that is titled, No Little People, No Little Places. He writes, "All of us, pastors, teachers, professional religious workers, and non-professionals included, are tempted to say, I will take the larger place because it will give me more influence for Jesus Christ." Both individual Christians and Christian organizations fall prey to the temptation of rationalizing this way as we build bigger and bigger empires. But according to the scripture, this is backwards. Isn't that a good line? This is backwards. We should consciously take the lowest place unless the Lord extrudes us into a greater one. He continues, the word extrude is important. To be extruded is to be forced out under pressure into a desired shape. Picture a huge press jamming soft metal at high pressure through a die so that the metal comes out in a certain shape. This is the way of the Christian. He should choose the lesser place unless God extrudes him into a position of more responsibility and authority. Listen to me, you who are in a lesser place and your ego is fighting for a greater place, listen to this. There are no little people. There are no little places. He says, let me suggest two reasons why we ought not grasp for the larger place. First, we should seek the lowest place because there it is easier to be quiet before the face of the Lord. I did not say easy. In no place, no matter how small or humble, is it easy to be quiet before God. And second reason why we should not seek the larger place is that if we deliberately and egotistically lay hold on leadership, wanting the drums to beat and the trumpets to blow, then we are not qualified for Christian leadership. Why? Because we have forgotten that we are brothers and sisters in Christ with other Christians. I have said on occasion that there is only one good kind of fighter for Jesus Christ, and that's the one who does not like to fight. The belligerent man is never the one to be belligerent for Jesus. It is exactly the same with leadership. The Christian leader should be a quiet man or woman of God, who is extruded by God's grace into some place of leadership. Isn't that great wording? Extruded into leadership. You who are determined to find a large place and will not be satisfied until it is large and well-paying and famous, you've missed the whole point. That's not God's way. You mean God doesn't have anyone in large places? He does all over. But the most effective feel just as comfortable in small places. An impossible judge, an impossible tax gatherer, an impossible circle of little kiddos, and how about an impossible individual who was just too big for his britches? A rich ruler who appears before Jesus. Verse 18, good teacher, what shall I do to obtain eternal life? He asks. This is a hotshot ruler who shows up in his robes of royalty and all the accoutrements of wealth. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? Emphasis on do. Why do you call me good? Don't you know Jesus? Jesus had a way. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Sword thrust, twist, twist, twist. Standing there listening to this, he goes right to the heart of it. What are you trying to do? Earn your way in. This is about belief, humility, trusting me. It's not about impressing and doing so that others will stand and take notice. In fact, he nails him with a number of things, and the man even brags and says, well, I've done all of that. What else? And Jesus said, fine. Why don't you sell everything you have and give it away, and then we'll see how we come out. Jesus is saying, stop trusting in the tangible things and just, rather than clinging to them, cling to me. You don't own them, they own you. Release them. Interestingly, Matthew and Mark both say, at these words, his face fell and he went away grieved because he was one who owned much property. Something wrong with owning property? You know better than that. It's the fact that the property owned him. I mean, the man couldn't get past his own resume. He couldn't possibly lower himself to do the simple things like, let's make Christ first. Even though it means being misunderstood by your cohorts who live for the bucks. Let's go there. Just like today, back in the first century, people were very impressed with wealth, and the disciples have been listening. Verse 26 gives us their response. And they who heard it said, then who can be saved? I mean, if somebody like that can't be, who can be? Look at Jesus' answer. Here it is again. I love this. Why, the things impossible with men are possible with God. You can't work up enough humility to live sacrificially. But I can do that through you. Oh, you mean like giving up for your sake? And then I love this with Peter. This is one of those great moments where Peter doesn't say something wrong. He says it right. And you just love him for it. Look at Peter. This is so good. Verse 28, Peter said, sort of hinting for reassurance, behold, we have left our homes and followed you. Isn't that great? Lord, we've done that. In other words, tell me it's worth it, Lord. Just tell me one more time. You know, we've become missionaries, Lord. I mean, I had a fishing business there at the lake. My brothers and my daddy and I. But we walked away from the nets and the boats. Tell me it's worth it, Lord. Just need a little reassurance. And I love it. There's no rebuke. Christ, in his graciousness, may have put his arms around him. And he said, verse 29, I truly say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom who shall not receive many times as much at this time. I mean, to say nothing of eternal life. Let me tell every one of you. Let me tell everyone, and it's most of you. You who have put your priorities straight, you who have set aside the ego and the nonsensical pursuit of just more and more. Let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It is the greatest blessing on earth to be able to represent the Lord Christ, whether it's in the halls of academia for a believer or it's in the halls of Hollywood for those so desperately in need, or whether it's in the bush of those in the heart of the most pagan countries. It's not a burden. It's the greatest calling on earth, greatest decision you could possibly make. And that dear rich ruler never got it. You know why it was not possible for him? Because he chose it not to be. Whew, I'm not going there. Well, we've looked at an impossible judicial decision where a helpless widow couldn't do it, but God did. An impossible tax-gathering sinner where he couldn't reach God in his hopeless setting, but God did. God did it. An impossible situation with a handful of kiddos who really weren't that sophisticated. In fact, not at all. And the Lord made their audience possible. The impossibility of a proud ruler who stayed impossible because he chose it. But the Lord said, I can do anything. I can change that heart. Now I got three questions for you. You knew this was coming, didn't you? I got three questions for you. You don't have to have your Bible open for them. You can close your Bible. But I don't want anything to distract you from the answer. I don't know your answer, but I do know the questions. Number one. By the way, remember how I started? The most important thing about you is what you believe about God. Remember that opening line? Still true. So let's go there. Question number one. How big is God in your mind? Not looking for dimensions here. I'm looking for concepts. How big is he? Big enough to bear and to handle your need? Maybe a need in the rearing of children at home in a tight place where the rewards seem to be few and the demands are many. Big enough to take care of the frustration of where you are in your setting. You may be highly gifted and perhaps even well-schooled, but it seems such a waste. Is he big enough to be there? Big enough to be there with you and to honor that? Big enough to help you out of your comfort zone and into a brand new world that you've never trusted him for before? How big is he? Big enough to rearrange even your career so you leave what is so familiar and you go and do something that is relatively unfamiliar because you know in your heart that's really what he wants. And he may not, but he's big enough to go there and to make that happen. Here's a second question. What specific thing have you marked off as impossible, thinking it'll never change? Does it have a name on it? A guy you continue to witness to, you continue to talk to about Christ until he finally cursed and virtually threw you out of his life? Or that lady who said, you finally become the religious fanatic I was most concerned about. Please, never again bring this subject up. You got that person on your list? Take them off. How about some personal struggle or addiction or scar that, again, if I flashed before us all, would bring you real embarrassment? You think that's too much for him? You think he's going to stub his toe on that addiction since he's in the business of doing the impossible? Whole new direction in your life where you risk complete change and maybe a whole new method of earning a living? That impossible? Don't try to be funny here, but some of you are saying in answer back, you know who's impossible? My husband, or my wife, or this child of mine, now grown. Really? Really? So that God can't handle it? Well, that's some kind of stubborn husband. That's some kind of difficult child. You mean God's going to say, man, I have reached my limit. I cannot do anything with that person. Here's a third question. Should God be leading you into a whole new direction spiritually, are you going to say yes? Should he? I don't know what his plan is. Are you going to say yes? I don't know what it is. If I did, I'd tell you so we could kind of map it out together and pray through it. But I can assure you that promise he gave Peter is still true. No one who has left all these comforts shall not receive many times as much as this time in the age to come. Let me tell you a story. It was 1979. Everything was rolling along great for me. Church is going great, tripled in size, 5 services every Sunday, building a new building on an acreage not far away. I thought, boy, I am busier than a one-armed paper hanger in a windstorm with the hives. Man, I got more to do than I'll ever keep up with. And had a chance to begin a little radio ministry. Understand, this is before we had ever done anything like this, personally. And I realized that it would need management that I couldn't provide because of my involvement at the church. And I said to Cynthia one evening, I said, you know what? Looks like we would have a chance to get on the radio. And I said to her, I don't know if that's the kind of thing you might be interested in, but we got an opportunity to do this. It's going to take everything we have. We had about $10,000 saved up, every dime we had. And I said, if we started, it's going to be from scratch. And that weekend, I took off with our older son, Kurt, and I shot the rapids with him up at the Rogue River in southern part of Oregon. We had a great time. I left Cynthia crying on the sofa when I drove off and wondering what she was going to do. And I said, if anybody's going to run it, you will, but don't feel under pressure. You know, standard husband stuff. But I said, you've got the brains for it. You've got the vision for it. And it's obvious that I don't have either one, and they could use my voice, and if you want to put this together, let me know. Frankly, I think it's ridiculous. Me of great faith. I said it's impossible, and so I took off. Came back, and to my amazement, she said, I want to do that. I think we ought to do that. Gave birth to a little ministry called Insight for Living. And we had no idea, none. The first month we needed $75,000 and the Lord sent in $76,000. Next month we probably needed $82,000 and we got in $83,000. It's been like that. I don't know why he just doesn't give us $8 billion and take the pressure off, but he never works like that. It's always just a little above. And I sat down here like all of you and I looked at the flags. And I thought, it's great. 16 languages, 60% of the world's population can hear it if they tune in. Soon to be 100%. And I want to tell you something, men and women. If he can do that, he can meet your need. Listen to me today. No one on earth, is more surprised than I over this ministry of Insight for Living. Became the connection for the forming of this church. That's how we knew each other. And I give him praise, all the praise. I do. When I got ready to end, you could see my notes. You'd see conclusion with a line that's blank because I didn't know how to end this message. I rarely, if ever, even mention it, but I had to mention it this time because it's so obvious what he's doing. And maybe it'll be just enough to spur you to say, I'm going to start thinking right about God. There may be a series of songs you're supposed to write. There may be a ministry you're supposed to start. There may be some books you're supposed to write. There may be some lives you're supposed to touch. There may be a company you're supposed to get off the ground and use for His glory and turn the proceeds totally over to ministry. I don't know. If I knew, I'd tell you. Maybe an education you need to finish. Maybe a place you need to go. And maybe a career you need to change. It's your move. Do it. He is a God of limitless possibilities. Believe me. Now I want us to bow our heads. I want you to close your eyes. The Lord Jesus left the comfort zone of heaven. No one ever had it more comfortable. And the resplendent, holy presence of the Father and the Spirit. And he landed on this earth, coming to his own things, and his own ones did not even welcome him. Because that was the Father's plan for him. But because he did it, we have life eternal. through believing in him. He will not barge into your life. He will not force you. He may make life miserable so that you wind up with nothing else to do but turn to him. But you'll have to do it. You'll have to turn. I won't beg you, but I will tell you, today's the best day to do it. Thank you, Father, for all who will hear what has been said. From gardener to king of a country, from truck driver to business owner, from homemaker tucked away in a little place, to a business executive, a woman who owns her own work, who is searching for a reason for happiness, some professor of a school, some student, some retiree, some dear soul in a hospital, some disabled friend, some broken-hearted sinner. Lord God, thank you for lifting the burden of sin and giving us the blessing of life with you. Find in us open hearts to do, to go, to give, to spend, to invest, whatever, for your glory, for your pleasure, with the rewards yet to come. Work on those who today are struggling, and as you move upon them, may they yield and give up the fight. I ask in the name of Christ, the Savior who gives us hope and purpose. And all God's people said, amen.
This is Insight for Living. As a staff, we're asking God to use today's message to expand your vision for the world and to help you understand your role in making disciples of all the nations. Chuck Swindoll is our Bible teacher, and today he's presented the first of four messages in a new series called Mission Possible. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. As Chuck said a moment ago, the Great Commission of Jesus is not the exclusive assignment for those who are in full-time ministry. Now, taking the gospel to the world is a duty to be taken seriously by every follower of Christ. In that spirit, we're inviting you to come alongside Insight for Living Ministries with your prayers and financial support. You see, our capacity to reach a global audience with Bible teaching is made possible through the charitable giving of listeners just like you. Chuck, sometimes it feels like making disciples of all nations is an impossible assignment to fulfill, but we continue to see evidence that God is using this program to reach far beyond our borders.
Thanks, Dave. In recent days, my spirit has been lifted by the timeless words of Jesus, where he said, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." Luke 18:27 in the New Living Translation. At Insight for Living Ministries, we've encountered a season of limited supply. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The contributions we normally count on during the summer months have not arrived. From my limited human perspective, our financial predicament appears to stand in the way of fulfilling our mandate. And our mission given by Jesus is to go and make disciples of all the nations. Well, let's be clear. God is not wringing his hands in the heavens. He's not wiping the sweat from his brow, worried about our predicament. Remember, he's the God of impossibilities. And in these critical moments, he always calls upon men and women of God to participate in the process by giving generously to meet the need. So please, listen to the Lord's prompting. Let God's Spirit guide you on the amount you are to give. And as he leads you, respond now, because the need is urgent. Thanks so much.
And here's how to respond to Chuck right now. If you're listening in the United States, you can call us at 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. If you're among those who give, Let me encourage you by reading a recent comment from outside our borders. This listener said, "Thank you, Insight for Living, my word teacher all the way from America. I don't think I would be reading the Bible had it not been for my encounter with your teachings." You can have an impact too. To become a monthly companion today, just give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or you can sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. If becoming a monthly companion is not the best option for you, then naturally your one-time donations are gratefully received as well. Together, we can truly make a difference in those who've come to rely on Chuck's Bible teaching.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 1st through 12th, 2020, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us when Chuck Swindoll challenges us to consider our personal commitment to Christ's Great Commission, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, "The God of Limitless Possibilities," was copyrighted in 2001 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.